Welcome to the Savvy Dentist Podcast with Dr. Jesse Green, the show where great dentistry meets great business. Listen in each week as we bring you an inspiring person who will share their story, ideas, and business techniques to help you create a practice and a life you love. And now introducing your host, Dr. Jesse Green.
Hello everyone, it's Jesse Green here. Welcome back to SavvyDentist.com and to the Savvy Dentist Podcast. It's great to have you company for another episode of the show. Today is a really important conversation and it's on the topic of marketing, but specifically how to get comfortable with your marketing, because we know for a variety of different reasons, lots of practice owners don't feel at ease with marketing. Maybe they're daunted by the technology itself of the platforms, the social media platforms. Maybe they're worried about putting themselves out there in inverted commas. Maybe they're worried about, you know, who's going to listen to me and what? Why would anyone want to, you know, hear what I have to say? Maybe they're worried about what to say. All of those sorts of things really erode a practice owner's confidence with their marketing. And if we can agree that marketing is what drives the business forward and is going to help us achieve new heights, whether it's, you know, growing to high levels of revenue or scaling up, then marketing is an essential element that at some point we're going to need to master. So we've got to get comfortable with that. And in this episode, I'm joined by Michelle Taylor from Marketing Practices, who's going to help us unpack all of those things so that you can become more comfortable with your marketing. And when you're more comfortable with your marketing, you're going to engage with your marketing. And when you engage with your marketing, you're going to build a pipeline of patients that come to the practice, you know, day in, day out. You're going to be able to recruit patients, retain patients, and of course, if necessary, reactivate patients. So the three R's of marketing. So with this episode, please do have a pen and paper handy because Michelle shares lots of pearls of wisdom, lots of nuggets of gold that I know that if you apply to your practice, you're going to see demonstrable change in your marketing results. This episode is one of those ones you're going to want to come back to a couple of times over, listen, review your notes, and of course, implement everything that you learn. So I hope you find this episode really helpful. And without any further ado, here's our conversation with Michelle Taylor from Marketing Practices. Hey, Michelle, welcome back to the Savvy Dentist Podcast. It's great to have you here for another episode of the show. How's things in Sydney town?
Really well, thank you, Jesse, and thanks for having me back.
Oh, it's great. I think this topic is one that we can never really do enough of, because marketing is one of those things that oftentimes practices struggle with. They know that they need to do it, but candidly, they don't. And today I wanted to get your thoughts on a topic which I think is really important, that is like how to get comfortable with your marketing. And you've worked with lots of practices in all different manners, whether they be medical practices, dental practices, in different stages of their journey. I'm just curious to ask, why is it that you think that a lot of practice owners are not so comfortable with marketing?
Look, it's interesting. I think a lot of the time practice owners want to attract new patients, they want to retain their patients, and they want to do all of that stuff. But, you know, marketing is a big field. Mm. It's almost like asking a practice owner to be the jack of all trades if they're across it. And it then often creates this situation where there's a little bit of fear, there's a little bit of anxiety, there's a little bit of I don't really know what to do when it comes to marketing. And one of the things that I've noticed is that, you know, marketing is important, but it's unlikely to be the most urgent thing that you have to do that day. So treating patients, making sure everything's running smoothly within the practice is the urgent stuff. And marketing kind of falls down that list, and it's very easy to kind of not get to the important stuff as a busy practice owner.
If we understand it's important, and we know it is important because it's what drives the business ultimately, but we also know that people get caught up with the day-to-day, and you're quite right. I think people spend their time treating patients because that's what's in front of them, is the urgent thing, as you say. What's going on psychologically, do you think, with practice owners that perhaps maybe blinds them to the fact that marketing, though important and not urgent, is still important? What's going on psychologically? Is it something they're afraid of, do you think? Or is there something where they think that maybe I don't need to do this? Or like you said, maybe it's just a skill set that they don't want to invest in. What do you think is going on emotionally, psychologically for a practice owner that's perhaps a little disengaged with marketing?
Look, I've worked with hundreds, if not thousands, of practice owners. And often what I see is, When you do things that you're really familiar with and you know how to do it, it often comes very easy. But, you know, marketing is a space where we're putting ourselves out there, which sometimes doesn't come across very easily to some people. And, you know, I'm certainly an introvert, and I know, Jesse, you've often spoken about that. And often you know, marketing is a reflection of you and a reflection of your practice. And sometimes it is a little bit difficult to overcome that. You know, a lot of us are living in the generation where we didn't grow up with mobile phones in the palms of our hands while we were, you know, eating dinner at restaurants as babysitting tools for our parents. We grew up in an age where these kind of things weren't available to us, and marketing has evolved, and it's really evolved to the way where we now need to personalize our marketing a lot more. We need to make sure that we're getting authentic marketing content out. And often, you know, that does involve actually putting ourselves out there. So gone are the days of putting up some signage and, you know, doing a few ads with some stock images in local newspapers and those types of things. You know, if you really want to do well within marketing and stand out from the highly competitive environment that we're in, you really need to start to personalize your marketing efforts. And that often comes with those mindset issues of, that means that I need to get on camera. What do I do? What do I say? What are my peers going to think of me? You know, I haven't done my hair today. I, you know, there's so much anxiety that kind of comes up. And I guess having worked with many practice owners and seen that firsthand, there is a lot of mindset stuff that we do need to work on in that preliminary stage to be able to then move forward with marketing.
I think letting yourself shine through is obviously key to marketing, and you know, I enjoy marketing as much as the next person, but I totally understand why some people might want to keep their private life private. I'm a dentist, I'm a professional, there's my professional life and then there's my personal life. Can we just talk a little bit about the blurry edges of those? Because I think that some people might be thinking, my goodness me, does that mean I'm now taking photographs of every aspect of my life? Do I need to have a camera with me wherever I go? Where does that authenticity and that, I guess, that showing a bit of yourself begin and end? I have my own views about it, but sometimes I think there's a bit of oversharing that goes on, and sometimes others could perhaps share a bit more. So what's that nice happy medium?
Look, the happy medium, and it is an interesting question. The happy medium is what you're comfortable with sharing. And it's okay to set your own ground rules and own boundaries on that. I know I personally do. If you have a look at my social media feeds, you'll see a lot of stuff that I do around work, around volunteering, show image of my dog, those types of things. But, you know, I'm really unlikely to be sharing pictures of my kids at a local park, near my house, my children's schools, those types of things, because I want to keep all of that private. You know, it's not, I'm not a person that is going to be posting a lot about my private life, and that is okay. And I guess, you know, we have to look at things like social media as a bit of a filtered world that we know that it is. And, you know, you look at Instagram, like they even create Instagram posts about the Instagram view and the behind the scenes view of what's going on. And we know that's a filtered world, but take advantage of that. Show the filter that you want to show and how you want to position yourself as the expert within your community. And, you know, keep the stuff that you want to keep private. It is okay to do that. So I guess we're giving everybody permission here to share what they're comfortable sharing and keep the rest of the things private. We want to show content that humanizes us, that helps people get to know us, particularly when we're in a service-based business. And, you know, you and your team are essentially the service providers. And when people can connect with you on that emotional level, they feel more comfortable going through that patient journey, and you'll get them to that conversion stage to booking appointment a lot quicker if you do give a little bit of your personality away. So I guess that is up to everybody to define themselves, but we're giving everybody permission to have the privacy that they want, but also just, you know, give a little of some of the things that people can really relate to about you and your life as well.
I'm just coming back to authenticity versus the lens for a second. And I've noticed that some people on social media use the word authenticity as a bit of an excuse, shall we say, to show perhaps an element or a side of their personality. It's a bit of a kind of take it or leave it, I'm authentic and, you know, stick it up your jumper kind of routine. Where does, again, good authenticity start, and where does it kind of blur into like, oh, geez, getting a bit on the cringy side?
Yeah, I think that's an important distinction to make. And, you know, a lot of people do kind of take the alternate view as a stance, and they're creating a groundswell and conversation and, you know, backlash and all of that kind of stuff. As healthcare professionals, you know, it's really unlikely that we need to go to that place on social media. So I would kind of advise people to steer away from, you know, being insensitive to public sentiment. I think just kind of read the room, and if it's not something that you would say out loud to people that you respect at a party or those types of things, it really shouldn't be said on social media or through your marketing as well. But in terms of, you know, being authentic, what I'd like to really highlight, because a lot of people really struggle with, well, you've told me I need to create videos for social media and all of those types of things, but I don't know what to say. Being authentic actually comes back to, from a marketing perspective and an effective marketing standpoint, if you're authentically providing your patients with value, and when I talk about value, you are solving their pain points. The reality is that nobody really cares too much about you. They don't care what you look like. They don't care about your world. All people really care about is how can you help them. So in essence, we are fairly kind of selfishly minded people. We are, our radars when we're scrolling through things like social media are looking for ways to bring our own problems to light, to try and find resolutions to those. So, for example, if you're a dentist that treats a lot of children, for example, and you are talking authentically about perhaps your own experiences with some of the things that you've done with how to wrangle a two-year-old toddler to get them to brush their teeth, you know, you're talking to your target audience's pain points. And when you do that, you are really getting a lot of cut through when it comes to marketing. The person who's on the receiving end of that communication feels heard. They feel like you understand them, and they won't feel like apprehensive about coming and bringing their potentially disruptive two-year-old toddler to come and see you, you know, at the dentist. So it's humanizing you, it's being authentic, but it's also just solving the problems of your patients. You know, Jesse, I'm sure you get asked this question a lot as well. A lot of people ask me, what is the kind of magic thing, that one thing when it comes to marketing that is really going to get cut through?
What's the one magic button I can push to make it rain new patients on me? You mean that one?
That one, yes.
Oh, God, yes. 100 times over every week.
It's not necessarily, you know, getting Facebook ads right or getting, you know, blogging on your website or getting number one ranked on Google and all of those types of things. I mean, all of those things help. But really, when you can frame your marketing in a way that you are authentically helping your patients, educating them, solving their problems and pain points, if you can get that communication message across every single communication channel you've got available to you, including, you know, emails and those types of things, that is really the secret to good marketing.
Mm. I want to touch on the concept of being relatable but not depositioning yourself, because it's one thing to be relatable, like I get that, you know, and you know, I understand your pain points, I get it, I've wrangled two-year-olds or whatever the situation may be as well, but we need to then still position ourselves as an expert, not someone who's, you know, still struggling with that kind of stuff, right? We need to have overcome those challenges or show people why they should come to us to overcome that. So can we talk about being the expert and how to do that in a way, again, using that authentic word in a good sense, but in a way that, you know, helps people go, well, he gets me or she gets me, but at the same time, I feel confident that they have expertise and skills that are going to be really valuable. So how do we transition from the they understand me to I want to see that person as the expert that they actually already are?
Yeah, that's a good question. And It's subtle, because often it's really hard to kind of go out and, you know, be boastful about what you do or, you know, really promote yourself hard. And I think that's what a lot of people kind of struggle with, particularly those people that are, you know, more leaning towards the introverted side. But you have to build yourself up as the expert, and there's probably some subtle things that you can do to manage that. The first one is help people understand your background, your experience. Show things like if you're going to a new training program or learning about a new particular element of dentistry, show authentic videos of you there doing that training, because that gives a really good indication to people, oh, this person, you know, is continuously learning, they're up to date, all of those types of things. It's a really good message to get across there. The other thing is, often we use in our language, really subtle language. You could be creating videos or using email marketing or just even on your website. It could be something like, often I get asked by patients this question, or I see many patients every day that is suffering from. So it is just the subtle wording that you are letting people know that you deal with this kind of stuff every single day. And, you know, let's just say, for example, if we put it into terms of the medical profession, for example, I don't want to see a generalist surgeon if I have a problem with my knee. I want to see a knee surgeon. And, you know, you need to be able to help people understand that you solve their problems over and over again every day with different patients. And the other thing to do is potentially just invite people into your world a little bit, help them come into the practice from a sense of showing the practice in a really good light, and, you know, really using that language as setting yourself up as that expert. So it's definitely something that you need to be conscious of, but there are ways to do it subtly within language that you are using to be able to really get that message across.
Michelle, one of the things that we spoke about a little earlier is the introvert. For all the introverts listening, just open your ears just for 2 seconds, because there's something I want to ask you, and that is about fear of being judged. Okay, whether it's by peers or by others, I sometimes wonder, and I might be wrong, whether extroverts are a little more immune to that sense of judgment. Maybe they are, maybe they're not. So if you're an extrovert and you think, hang on, I've just excluded you for no reason, then also listen up. I wanted to talk a little bit about that judgment, because one of the things that I know is that as a profession, I think dentists on the whole care really, really well for their patients, but sometimes we can be a little bit critical of our peers. Not always, but just sometimes. And I think, you know, I would like to just talk a little bit about that fear of being judged by your professional colleagues, about, you know, putting yourself out there in a sense. I remember years ago, Michelle, when I started really getting interested in marketing, and I find it really interesting and fascinating, and I have for years. I remember one of my professional colleagues calling me an entrepreneur. But this was some years ago, when being called an entrepreneur was actually not a compliment. It was more of a, oh, you're one of them kind of routine. And now, of course, entrepreneur is a different word with different meanings, but back then it was definitely not a compliment. So how do we inoculate ourselves against feeling that judgment?
There's a couple of different ways, and I'll tell you a little story first about an experience that I had to overcome this. And, you know, people think that marketing people are extroverts. You know, we kind of nerd out on getting communication messaging right and all of that kind of stuff. And I have to say that I really struggled with, you know, doing things like Facebook Lives and those types of things. And there was one really defining moment where a mentor of mine, who is an absolute expert in social media, basically pulled me aside and he said, you know, why aren't you kind of doing this stuff? And I'm like, oh, you know, I want to get some more plants for my backdrop. Next time I go to the hairdressers, I'll do that. So I was making up all these ridiculous excuses for not getting it done. And he pulled me aside and he said, well, let's just do it now. And he pulled out his phone and my heart just sunk. I just felt you know, all of the kind of fight or flight symptoms at that moment in time. And we were standing, we're in Canada and we're standing next to this big lake. And he said, what would you rather do, go swim in the lake or do this Facebook Live? And I'm thinking I'd actually rather
swim in the lake, thanks. Yeah, exactly.
Anyway, so we did it. And what I found was rather than the judgment that came, that I thought was going to come with that, people actually celebrated that. And I realized that after, I think it was about 2 minutes of recording time, that, you know, I was still alive. I got through it. And the celebration of what other people were, how other people were reacting to that particular Facebook Live, was really kind of what got me over the, actually, you know, people aren't as critical as what I thought they were.
Exactly.
And perhaps I think we're probably our own worst critic.
100%. Tell you a quick story as well. Many years ago when I was getting started, you know, I ran a marketing agency and I was at a digital marketing event. This is going back to 2009. And at that particular time, there was a fellow there who came along, Ed O'Keefe. Now, some dentists will know Ed O'Keefe. He used to run a business years ago called Dentist Profits. Really nice guy. And I interviewed him and it was my first time interviewing anyone. And he, in the interview, he said to me, you know, Jesse, I really liked the report you wrote, the 19 Profit Leaks in Dental Practice. It was a piece of genius. I mean, what a great report. Now, the thing is, Michelle, I had written no such report. I had written no such report. I then had to go and create such a report off the back of that. And he just, like you, like your friend, he gave me the push I needed to kind of get out there and do it. And that report that I ended up writing off the back of that actually, it was one of the factors that launched this business. So I guess be brave, jump in and go for it.
You're healthcare professionals. You have done all of this training and you know what you can do can help people within the community overcome immense things, whether it is helping them with confidence because their smile has improved, whether it's taking away their pain, whether it's something that you might potentially say on a video that has resonated with a person that is unlikely to like or comment on your social media posts, and you have convinced them to finally take that next step and come back into the dentist because they haven't been for 20 years. I think we need to focus on communication, creating videos, social media, all the stuff that we kind of feel that apprehension for. We need to come back to the reality that these are communication tools that you have available to you that is going to reach and impact the local community that you are here to serve. And so if anyone is kind of feeling a little bit apprehensive, a little bit shy, they feel concerned about doing that, I would really encourage you to think about those people that you can potentially impact by just the little bit of discomfort of putting yourself out there, because that is huge. And the exponential effect of that could be life-changing for many. So, you know, try and put your own feelings aside for the good of others, because you may just very well help someone within the community and make a huge impact on their life, which you know you do every day, but you can reach more people by doing that.
Can we just talk a little bit about the tech side of things? Because I think, you know, when you start looking at dashboards and numbers and bounce rates and click-through rates and goodness knows whatever else, people start to feel a little bit overwhelmed. So can we just talk about how to navigate that space too, please? So again, from the point of view of getting a bit more comfortable.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is daunting. You know, those platforms change. Sometimes I go into the back end of MetaBiz listeners and look at that and think, where has that button gone? It was there yesterday. Why isn't it there today? These platforms change and it can feel pretty daunting. And I have to say, often one of the first things people will kind of come to me for is say, I'm spending all this money on Google Ads or SEO or Facebook ads, and I really don't know if it's working or not. And, you know, that's because they don't understand these complex systems that are here supposedly to serve us and be platforms that we can advertise on for us to attract and retain patients. But often it is a difficult thing to navigate. I guess the advice is that you really can't be the expert at everything. It is impossible. You know, I've worked in marketing for over 25 years and I know a lot about Facebook ads, but I would actually leave the creating and setting up all of those Facebook ads to an expert that is in that program and dealing with that every single day. And it's a little bit like, you know, you as a dentist, if you're going to refer a patient to a specialist, for example, an orthodontist or endodontist or whatever, you know, that is because, you know, you have a limited area of expertise and that is okay. What I would say is, you know, choose your experts carefully, keep them accountable. Don't just say, okay, you know, here's my budget, just go and look after my marketing for me, because that doesn't work. And that's where we see the wheels fall off, because there are plenty of sharks circling.
Oh, yeah.
Practice owners.
Oh, yeah.
And they are very happy to take your money and, they're happy to tell you that they're kind of looking after things. So I would, you know, highly recommend you kind of outsource those kinds of things to experts, but make sure that you are looking at the metrics, you're looking at the data, and you are absolutely keeping them accountable. If you don't feel like you're getting new patients, and you should be measuring that through these platforms, there are ways and metrics that you can put in place to measure that. If you don't feel like that's happening, you need to jump on that straight away and feed that back to the agency. And saying things like, an agency will often come back and say, yeah, you know, it takes time. Well, you know, how much time are we going to have? Like, we've been trying to do this for 6 months. You know, you will absolutely be seeing some kind of incremental improvement. You'll be seeing the numbers improving and changing. And it is not something that is going to be that you're not going to see any improvement for 6 months' time in any stretch. So just be on your guard. As a business owner, you need to manage every single element of your business, and marketing is one of those, whether we like it or not. Make sure that you're on top of it, you keep them accountable, you have regular meetings where you can tweak things and ask questions and, you know, get to the bottom of perhaps why something may not be working. Stay on top of it and just know that you can't be the expert at everything, but you can put a good plan in place and get the resources around you to help you do that.
One of the things that, again, you know, having run one of these agencies before and going to various internet hookups and internet marketing hookups, you'd go to all these places and people would actively be targeting dentists. And as a dentist myself, I'd always kind of scratch my head and kind of go, well, you guys don't realize how many people are targeting dentists. But their methodology or their rationale, I should say, was more along the lines of they have the means and they don't have the expertise, and it's like a soft target, right? Mm. And so, like, this is you know, what happens in those meetings, and it's quite disgusting in some senses, because most of those people, maybe not most, but a decent portion, are not doing that with the best intentions at heart. So I think one of the things, to your point about making sure you're seeing improvement, is knowing, you know, what's an acceptable return on investment. Yeah, are you trying to have a positive return on investment for that initial ad spend? So in other words, if I'm spending $1 on an ad, am I going to be able to, you know, make $2 in that first appointment? Or if I'm spending $1 on an ad, am I happy just to make $1 on that first appointment, knowing that I'll get it in the back end. And then if you've got a great back end, you could probably lose a bit of money on the front end and because your back end's so good. But you've got to be really clear about that, because what I notice is a lot of people go negative in that lead acquisition point of view, and the marketing agency is always talking about the lifetime value of a customer, but that's really hard to measure. And if you don't have the right back end processes to maximize the lifetime value of a customer, then it just becomes a loss. And so one of the things I think is really important is if you look at your marketing, you've got to obviously retain that patient, make sure they're coming back again and again and again, referring their family and friends, doing all those other things. And then it's, you know, then you've got something to work with rather than just kind of, you know, hoping it's going to rain new patients on you. And secondly, I think as well, is making, like you said, Michelle, having those regular meetings, because you want to see testing and measuring, because this is not a one and done kind of thing. So can we talk a little bit about split testing or just a little bit of test and measuring as we go through? What are your thoughts around that?
Yeah, it's crucial. I've seen accounts set up beautifully. They go really well for a couple of months and then the algorithms change and things start. So the wheels start to fall off. That's common. It happens all the time. What I would suggest you do is make sure that you know what outcomes you want to get, know the kinds of patients that you want to be attracting, and don't be afraid to make changes to try and tweak and change things. A good agency is going to be doing that constantly, and they really should be coming to you and saying, hey, we've just noticed, you know, some metrics, something's not working here, or there's a key search term that you should be converting well for, but it's not really converting very much, or those types of things. A good agency should really come to you and say, look, you know, here's some things that we can do to kind of optimize this process. Now, in regards to things like split testing, so if you're running, for example, some Facebook ads, make sure that you are testing a series of those ads. So don't just test one creative. You could test, you know, 10 creatives. And I know that sounds like a bit of work up front, but they don't have to be very different from each other. It could just be testing a photo versus a video. And I've seen recently not necessarily videos going really well, whereas you kind of would expect that because the algorithms are favoring that from an organic perspective, and slightly tweaking those creatives, testing all of them, and then pulling the ones that aren't really getting the numbers for you. And then it gives you more confidence that you can actually throw additional investment into the ones that are really converting for you. Now, one of the things that you need to be really careful of is make sure that you have good visibility of where these new patients are coming from. I found you on Google is the really common kind of a default answer when a patient comes in. So, you know, you need to ask a few more questions with regards to that. Don't just rely on, hey, our Google ads must be going great because we've got all these people that we've found on Google. And in fact, it's just the fact that your website's ranking well for a particular search term. So, you know, make sure that you are really uncovering where every new patient comes from. And that could be a little process that you put in place with your team where they have a little bit of that conversation. Oh, have you seen our, you know, social media? Have you seen our Facebook page? Those types of things, because it's not necessarily always just a single thing that is funneling a patient to your practice. It is more likely to be 10 things where they've seen your signage, they've seen something on social media, they visited your website, they saw you on Google, they read your reviews, all of these different parts within the patient journey to get them to your practice. So it's not necessarily just one thing that is kind of moving the needle there.
Yeah, 100%. We sometimes talk about the zero moment of truth study from Google, which is, you know, 7 hours and 11 touch points. So they're going to be experiencing your practice in lots of different ways before they come through the door. And it's that recency bias. You know, the Google was probably, you know, the Google, getting on the Google search platform was probably the last thing they did. And so that's why it's so recent and why they report that. Obviously, if there's a gap in the, you know, marketing knowledge in the practice, you know, we want to close that gap. Now, my contention is that the business owner absolutely has a role to play, and And I think they need to have an interest in marketing. I don't think you can kind of go through business and go, I just want to bury my head in the sand and I just want to be here to do dentistry. I just don't think that mindset's really going to work. But at the same time, like we said, you can't be an expert at everything. And so we've got to get expertise somehow. One of my frustrations is I see practice management ads or practice manager ads, you know, recruitment ads, and we see job descriptions for practice managers where they've got to be a financial expert, they've got to know how to run the P&L, they've got to be a team expert, you know, manage team beautifully, performance manage everyone, and on top of that, they've got to be a marketing guru. Hey, we all know that person doesn't exist. So what kind of person should we have in our team from a marketing perspective? What's the marketing team look like?
Yeah, I think in that case, Jesse, they're looking for a unicorn because...
Yeah, yeah. Hey, if you find one, send them my way, right? or capture it so we can study it.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I think it depends on the setup of the practice. It depends on the other resources that you have available to you. So, you know, if you're really going to get into social media marketing, for example, there are very cost-effective virtual assistants, for example, that you might be able to tap into that can do video editing, those types of things. You know, I do not expect a practice owner to be wasting their time doing those tasks that somebody else can do. So for those types of tasks, I would be splitting those tasks up. If you particularly have a person within your clinic that might be working in other areas of business that just has a bit of a creative flair and would like to do that, then by all means, you know, give things like that task to them. But, you know, they need to be accountable for that because this is an important part of the business. It's marketing is the part of the business that is going to drive things and move things forward. You know, if you're looking for a practice manager who's really going to help manage marketing, the skills that I would be looking for are more along the lines of someone who has more of the softer skills that might be able to project manage or manage an agency, those types of things, or agencies or freelancers or whoever you might get involved in doing the different elements of marketing, but someone that's going to be able to help input into putting a plan together with you. Because we all know if we don't plan, you know, the wheels come off and you don't know what you're doing when it comes to marketing and it's not urgent, therefore it doesn't get done. So someone that can help you plan that and that can almost project manage that implementation for you. That's where I see practices do really well when it comes to marketing, is not necessarily employing someone to do the doing of that, but someone who can manage the process.
So with respect to, you know, thinking about the freelancers and the team that we might have that practice manager managing, if we were to think about some of the roles that might come up, just again, I know it's not going to be an exhaustive list or a complete list, but just to get people thinking about who might be involved, you might have someone who runs your ads for you. So whether it's a Google platform or a Facebook or Meta platform, you might have video editors, you might have copywriters. Who else might you have on your team that the practice manager might need to interface with?
Yeah, you probably need someone that's able to update your website. Websites are not static.
No.
Most practices I know have outdated websites and they need updating. And often it's because, you know, often it's not a big time commitment to do those updates, but there's just not that expertise within the practice to be able to do that. So there are resources available nowadays and pretty accessible that are able to, you know, do those smaller tasks for you without charging big agency prices, essentially. So, you know, I think you've kind of hit the nail on the head with someone who knows how to do Facebook ads, runs those ads and Google ads and SEO, someone that can update websites, a video editor. With respect to actually posting on social media, if I had a penny for every person that said, oh, Michelle, you know, just you do my social media for me, can you? You know, as much as I would love to help, coming back to the start of our conversation where we talked about the importance of authenticity in marketing, the importance of being able to really position yourself as the expert, someone who is creating lovely graphics on Canva cannot bring that out for you.
No.
So it's really important to, coming back to that point, is to make sure that you have the resources available internally for you to manage at least the content creation side of things. But it's not necessarily, a lot of people say, oh, do I need these third-party schedulers and all of this kind of bells and whistles to be able to do that? Meta Business on Facebook will actually schedule and post things for you. So, you know, people who are kind of getting all techie with third-party schedulers and those types of things, it doesn't take too much expertise to be able to schedule on the native platforms. And as long as you've got the systems and processes within your practice in place to be able to do that. And, you know, that comes back to a lot of what you teach, Jesse, in terms of making sure that those systems are well set up, that everybody knows what has to be done. And, you know, it becomes a well-oiled machine. It becomes very easy to be, you know, producing content that is going to really move the needle when it comes to marketing.
Yeah, well, I mean, as someone who used to use those third-party schedulers, oh my goodness me, thank goodness we don't anymore, because we've just, A, removed an expense from our business but introduced simplicity. Back to the point, though, about training, because if we're going to have a practice manager or someone who's going to be across some of these things, probably some sort of training is going to be still necessary for them to know what's normal, what's not. It's great to be the project manager, but there's still a basic level of knowledge that's going to be appropriate and important for them to have. So again, from a training perspective, where do you see the gaps mostly showing up in that environment?
The gaps that I see, I mean, the biggest question I get asked is, can you have a look at these Google metrics for me? I have no idea what they mean. Am I getting patients from this? That is definitely one of them. Understanding how to use the social media algorithms and get them to work for you is another area where I think is really important to get that expertise. I think just generally having a really good and sound understanding of marketing in general. And I think where I'm getting to with that is often as a business, you come up with these kind of opportunities that are presented to you. Mrs. Jones, who's on the local P&F, has asked you to give a free whitening away or, you know, give some cash for your logo to be on the school fundraiser. And it's about making sure that a person who's making decisions about those requests or opportunities that come up really understand how to pull that opportunity apart and see where you are able to really be able to take advantage of that. And if there's no advantage apart from just the goodwill for Mrs. Jones, your patient, if you're doing it just for that reason, I would try and look for other reasons to be able to take advantage of. Because that often happens. And if you don't have that ability to create a marketing plan and know what is the right way of doing things, and there's many right ways of doing things, and unfortunately, you know, marketing isn't an exact science. We are always pushing the needles with things. We are always trying to tweak and change and modify. But it's a person who has the expertise that is able to really have a good understanding of what that return is going to be from the practice perspective.
Yeah, and one of the things that I love that you do, Michelle, is the training piece, because I think that's really, really important. And I think if you're going to have someone on your team who is leading the marketing efforts of the practice, which I would encourage everyone to have, we don't necessarily need them to be the expert, like I just lamented a moment ago, but we do need them to have a basic set of understanding and some skills around that. And one of the things I love about the training that you do is you provide that platform, you provide that foundational knowledge and more to give them a really good head start. So for the people that are interested in getting some training for their team, is the best place for them to come across to Marketing Practices?
Marketingpractices.com.au, or you can send me an email at info@marketingpractices.com.au.
I do think that there's some real value in getting your team trained up around that. And as we said, you know, yes, you're going to be working with a team of experts. Yes, you're going to be working with individuals with particular skill sets, but we do need some coordination there, the project management piece, and to do that, you've got to have some knowledge. So again, for those that are interested, please do head across to Michelle's website, marketingpractices.com.au, and avail yourself of those resources. Michelle, the big topic I wanted to get to today is around getting comfortable with marketing, and we've spoken a bit about mindset, a lot about mindset, authenticity, What will my peers think? All those sorts of conversations we've had. We spoke about getting comfortable with what's an ROI and what's not, and trying to understand some of those numbers and data points. And of course, we spoke a bit about team and working with the various experts. And we've kind of touched on the topic of having a strategy and making sure there's not just a disparate group of activities kind of without a cohesive plan. Is there anything else you think we need to touch on so that practice owners can feel a bit more comfortable getting involved with marketing? Because we know it is one of the core activities that drives the business forward, and everyone needs to kind of get on board with it to some degree. So is there anything that you think we haven't covered that we ought to?
No, I think we've covered a lot, but it really does come back to having that plan, having those regular meetings to be able to get that plan implemented, because the biggest issue that I see people face is without that, they just don't even know where to start. So you've got to come back and get to the basics of understanding who your target audience is. Make sure that you know that, you know, where your audience is and who you need to be targeting, so that you're not wasting these efforts and these opportunities, because the practices that are doing marketing well are the ones that have good systems in place. They have a team that knows what needs to be done, and they're assessing each individual piece of marketing as a return on investment. You know, they're really setting themselves apart from everybody else. So it is possible with, I guess, some mindset shifts from the practice owner. If you really don't like marketing, then it is an element of your business that is necessary, and we need to make sure that it is high on that priority list to move that business forward.
Yeah. And as someone who absolutely loves marketing, one of the things that delights me is that some of the things that we're now seeing in dentistry have been around in other industries for a long, long time. And now dentistry is kind of catching up a bit. We're getting some of the technological solutions that many other industries have had forever. And it's really great to be able to see some of this marketing find its way into dentistry, which brings a smile to me, at least, and I'm sure it does to you too, Michelle.
Absolutely. And an added benefit is that, you know, marketing, as you say, Jesse, is recruitment is marketing.
Recruitment is marketing, yeah.
When you're showcasing your team, when you're showcasing your expertise, showing people how beautiful your clinic is, all of those types of things, you are also potentially attracting your future team members. So it is a really important thing to be working on.
Michelle, we've covered a lot of territory today. So thank you so much for your time, your expertise and your wisdom. I think this is a topic that we could probably spend 100 years talking about, because there's so many things that we could discuss. But I really hope for the audience, you've got a few things that are going to allow you to feel more comfortable getting on board with marketing and introducing it into your practice, overcoming some of the things that we see that trip people up regularly. And Michelle, you've got so many years of experience in this field. Again, I just want to say thank you for sharing some of that wisdom with us today. And I hope we can catch up again and have another conversation about this really soon.
My pleasure, Jesse. Thank you so much for having me on this podcast. It was great.
Thank you for listening to the Savvy Dentist podcast. For more episodes, go to drjessegreen.com/savvydentist. And to discover how to build a high-performance dental practice, visit drjessegreen.com and download the free report.